You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
All right, so imagine you're on a kayaking journey with me, and we are kayaking together. If you're going on a journey with me, we're gonna go somewhere. And it's probably going to be somewhere awesome because you want to go somewhere awesome with me because, well, anywhere you go with me would be awesome, right? Everybody knows that. I know. I understand. I'm so humble, too. But imagine you're on a kayaking journey with me. And if we're going on a journey, first of all, you're going to want to know the best place to go kayaking. The MC3 parking lot, not so good for kayaking. I know, and maybe DJ, adventurer types, the whole Walters family, they could probably make that work. I don't know how, but they probably could pull it off. But for average people like me, who is an average kayaker who goes kayaking all the time, Whipple Dam last year, Whipple Dam the year before, Whipple Dam the year before that, that's about it. But you probably would talk to somebody and say, okay, what are the best places to go? You'd probably talk to a kayaker and say, if I'm going to go kayaking on a kayaking journey, which is what kayakers do, you would ask someone that knows how to kayak where to go, what to do, where that should happen. And so you'd probably talk to a friend that you trust, maybe ask the Walters, hey, if I'm going to go kayaking, where should I go? You're probably going to want a boat that you can count on, a boat that will work for you. Because, you want to be able to make it to your destination, wherever that may be. And, something that's not going to fill with water and sink, that's generally a good thing. Something that is going to be able to handle whatever comes your way. So you're going to want, in addition to knowing where you're going and getting some advice from some friends, you're going to want a good vehicle, a good boat to get you there. You're also going to want, you're going to want to know the route on your journey. Are there any dangerous eddies that we need to worry about? Eddie Munster, Eddie Osborne. Is there Eddie Osborne? Eddie Money, yeah, because he's got two tickets to Paradise, and unfortunately, you can't take your kayak with you. Anyway, you need to watch out for dangerous eddies or waterfalls or rocks. So you need to kind of know, what is there coming up that we need to be aware of, we need to watch out for. You want to know those kind of things. And then, of course, you want to know that, if I run into a dangerous eddy, how do you get away from him? If you run into a waterfall, what do you do if you're on the course you're on and the current takes you in a different direction? You're going to want to know how to get out of that. So you'll probably, talk to someone that at least knows what they're doing to be able to get you out of that. And, of course, if you're going to go on the journey, you need to have all of the right equipment. You want to make sure you have a paddle that works. This is called a paddle, right? Anybody? Yes? This is not an oar. No. Because if it's an oar, it would only be one-ended. Yes, it would be. I'm telling you because I know. Although, aren't there paddles that are one-ended with a handle like the canoe? Okay, so you're going to want something that looks sort of like this. And you're going to want your life jacket because, if you fall over, you don't want to sink. So you're going to want to kind of know where you're going. You want to make sure that, that get the best advice, the best places to go. You're going to want to have the right equipment to do it. You're going to have the right boat that will get you there. You're going to want to know about all the dangers that you need to be aware of and how to get out of them. And you want to have all the right equipment to do it if you're going to go on a kayaking journey with me. Because that's the way it would be. And I want you to know that this, ready? It's very similar to the Bible. This is very similar to the Bible. Because the Bible kind of gives us all those things as well. This series that we're doing, and you know what's really, really stinky? I have no idea. There's no clock on my screen right now. And this is the first week that I have to be on time because of what's going on upstairs. So can you just shout out what's on that screen right now on your clock? You don't have it either. I have a watch, but all right. All right. Yeah, that would be better, actually, Steph. Thank you. Because my phone keeps turning off. So this is so good. We're so professional here. High end, everything I do is absolutely dead on, never mess anything up. Okay, good. That'll be a good time. Okay, so this is like the Bible, and what we're doing this series right now, and we're going to go through, as Brian said earlier, we're going to go through our core values as a church. And I shared this at our Prime Group There was a Prime Group leaders meeting the other night, and it was incredible. I'm so excited. Prime groups are kicking off this week, and you've got some amazing men and women that are leading these groups that love God, and it's going to be really cool. But I was sharing with them at this meeting on Thursday night that the core values, you know, if you think about our C3 process, which we'll talk more about next week, but if you think about that, that's sort of the vehicle. And core values tend to be, for us, now they mean all sorts of different things with different people, but for us, they're sort of like the guardrails on the road. They're the kind of things that kind of keep us focused, keep us bouncing in the right direction from going off course. And we have 10 core values of the church. This is an 8-week series, so we're going to cram a couple of them together. But the way this works is that it's kind of, you know, as we make decisions as leaders, as elders, as the you know, MC3 family team, as the Prime Group team, as we make decisions, our core values kind of are infused in that. They affect how and why we do what we do. And we're doing this series, and usually every September I try to do a series that says this is who we are as a church. Because I think it's so important for us to remember that, to be able to say, yes, this is why we're doing what we're doing. And this seemed like a long summer. And it finally got hot, right, when we couldn't use hot anymore. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to being able to go over with you guys, like, this is why we are. This is who we are. And I love this, too, because, you know, I will be unashamed to tell you that if you don't like it, leave. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, this is who we are, and this is how we feel that God has guided us and directed us to lead this church. And there's plenty of awesome churches in the area. And so I love being able to share this, too, so people can say, yeah, that's who they are. Yep, this is who we are. And if it's something that's not really you, that's cool. But I'm excited about doing that. So we're going to go through this series looking at our core values. And this week, we're going to look at the core value that is biblically, is how it's on our website. You can go to mc3church.org. And if you click on About Us, a little drop-down menu will come, and you can look at these core values on there. But the point that I want you to get this week is this. It is working. The screen's working there. Good. I am biblical, so I use the Bible as the main filter for how I live. I am biblical, so I use the Bible as the main filter for how I live. Because I want to talk about this idea of the Bible. And as a church, our core value, and this is not on the screen, but this is what's written on our website, is biblically is the core value. It says, God's word is the authority for how to live as Christ followers. Therefore, we value the Bible as the main filter for everything that we do as a church. And I'll come back to this idea, and I'm kind of taking this a little bit, not just saying this is who we are as a church, but as followers of Jesus, this should be us. We should be able to say that we are biblical, and we're using the Bible as the main filter for how we live. And I'm going to wrap up, if I have enough time, sharing a lot of things that we allow to influence our decisions that are not the Bible, that will lead us in a way that is not effective and not appropriate. So, again, this series is about our core values, and this is like a weird commercial break in here. It's a weird timing, and I knew it would be, and it feels it right now, but I'm going for it anyway. As Brian said, there's a bunch of different ways throughout this series that you can be involved. One of the things that we've got are I Am MC3 t-shirts. We are going to be ordering t-shirts. We're not doing anything with them. It's just a way that you can tell people, yeah, you know what, I'm part of MC3, and people can ask you questions. There's a QR code on the back. The kids' sizes will not have the QR code, so people aren't like flipping out their phones and scanning your kids or something. It'd be weird. But just so people can learn about MC3, because we want to get the word out. We want people to know this is who we are, and we're unashamed about it. And I know a lot of you, like, I think you like your church. And that's cool. And being able to tell people, hey, this is my church. And so these shirts, they're $10. We're not making any money on them. That's the cost. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer that you can sign up for them. Again, it's just a thing. Nothing special about it. You're not closer to Jesus if you buy one or if you don't. Maybe just, no, not at all. A couple other things we're going to do, and actually there's a technical glitch, so this will actually happen tomorrow. But we're going to have our MC3... Our Facebook page profile picture is going to say, I am MC3. It's going to look almost exactly like that. Tomorrow, if you go to our Facebook page, MC3 Church, or facebook.com/MC3Church, and you tag yourself on the picture, and there's instructions out at the table out there. If you tag yourself, then you can set that as your profile picture. And we're asking everybody at MC3 for the next 2 months, for this entire series, to make your profile picture, I am MC3. Is that going to get you closer to Jesus? No. Is Jesus going to click like on your Facebook page? If he does, that's weird. No, but what's it going to do is people are saying, well, what's this all about? And it'll give you an opportunity to say, hey, let me tell you about my church. You don't have to be pushy about it. You don't have to be like, oh, you better come, or, you know, Jesus won't click like on you. Um, But it's just an opportunity to spread the word because we want to do that. You know, we've done other things in the past. We did magnets and stickers and stuff. And this year we're going to go digital with it. So that's another way that you can be involved in kind of what's going on there. So that'll be tomorrow. It'll be up. And again, you have to tag yourself in order to make it your profile picture. And if you don't know what any of that means, ask someone that's younger than you. And then the last thing that we're doing is the IM chalkboards that are out there. I know Kirk was really pushing that as people came in. All series long, we want you to tell your chalkboard story. All there are chalkboard, that's a hard word to say, chalkboards out there that say I am, and there's a blank spot. And you just write down something about you. It could be, you know, I am a single parent, or it can be I am 5'73". Or it could be, you know, I grew up in, or no, it can't be, it has to be I am. You have to do the grammar thing. I am from Tennessee. Or it could be, you know, I have been changed by Christ. Or I am a former alcoholic. It can be anything about who you are. And we want you to do multiple ones because each week, starting next week, we're going to be playing these little clips so that everybody at MC3 can kind of get to know you and your story. So feel free to come back and record. Do multiple things. All you're going to do is write it, and the instructions are out there. Stand in front of the camera, and there's no sound. It's just you holding your chalkboard. And so that's another way, just again, to get to know who you are and to kind of tie this series together and see who are our stories. Sort of like that really awesome intro video that I didn't make, so I'm not being obnoxiously, non-humble. But that idea of, you know, who were we and who we are now. So anyway, that's a weird, awkward commercial place, but I wanted to get that stuff out there because it's kind of important for what we're doing here. So biblically, I want to talk about this idea of being biblical. Because I think, unfortunately, if you were to go on a kayaking journey with me and you were going to kind of find out the right way to go and you were going to know what the dangers are, like most people would do that. Most smart or wise people, especially if you're going to like Colorado or some place that's not quite as violent as the Juniata River. But if you're going to, you know, to do something that's, if I switch that, reverse it, some place that's a little bit more violent than the Juniata River. But you would take prudence. You would learn the things you need to know. And I think it's crazy that if you were going to go on a kayaking journey, you would do all these things. You would prepare your supplies. If you were going to camp, you would have everything you need for camping for the most part. But we live every day of our lives not giving a rip about having the right equipment and doing things the right way. We base the way we live our lives on, well, what's popular? Or what are they going to say about me if I don't do it that way? Or, well, how does it make me feel? And I got to tell you, I love your feelings, but your feelings don't matter. Our feelings aren't good, and we'll come back to this later. The world around us is not going to direct us in the right way. Your opinions about things, politics, like none of these things are truly going to give us what we need to make it to our destination. And our destination as a follower of Jesus is to be more like him. And so I want us to kind of look at this idea of being biblical, of looking at, you know, what does it mean to live this way? Because you can ask all of your buddies and friends, and they can be great people. And I'll come back to this. But when it comes down to it, the only thing that matters, the only filter, the only thing that we should use to evaluate, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? Should I live this way or shouldn't I live this way? Should I go there or shouldn't I? Needs to be the Bible as the main filter. So, we're going to look at a passage in 2 Timothy. And I'm going to read the first part of it. If you have a Bible, you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the first part of it and encourage you just to listen along, or you can open and follow along with me in your Bible. It will not be on the screen because it's kind of setting up where we're going here. Over the next few minutes. But as a reminder, we finished the Word the Sequel series 2 weeks ago. And this letter, 2 Timothy, was a letter written by Paul. And it was written to Timothy. And if you remember, the title for this letter was Testing Leadership. 1 Timothy was teaching leadership. 2 Timothy was testing leadership. And Titus was training leadership. And so this is about testing leadership. Because Timothy, as a young pastor, was going through some hard times. There were some things that were happening to him, and Paul was using this to say, hey, God is going to work this in you. You just need to get through. You're being tested right now, and this is something that's going to come out. If you also remember, we talked about 2 weeks ago, that this was the very last letter that Paul wrote. So this was like his ending statement This was his final goodbye, if you will, in terms of what were officially written as scripture letters. So, in 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read the beginning. Just listen along, and if you don't get everything that I'm saying, that's cool. And then we're going to break it down a little bit beyond that. But this is what Paul writes to Timothy. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godly... Okay, those all are all bad things, right? Those are pretty rough things that Paul says here. Then he goes on and says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Not only are the obvious people really bad, but there's a lot of people pretending to be followers of Jesus, pretending to do the church thing, but really having nothing to do with it because God hasn't changed their lives. Then he goes on, he says, they are the kind, or he says, have nothing to do with such people. Verse 6, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They know a lot, but they're not living differently. Just as Jonas and Jambres, I don't even know how to pronounce it, looks French to me, but it's probably not, it's in the Bible, opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far. Because as is in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Paul is saying, look, things are getting rough. There are people out there, the bad people look bad, but now the good people are looking bad too. The people that show up and do the church thing are the ones that they look good on the outside, but he said there's some issues in their hearts. And Paul is saying, Timothy, watch out. You're a young pastor, and these people are going to come into your church. Be on the guard for them. Watch out for them. Be aware of them. Don't be like them. He goes on and then says, you, however, know all about my teaching. Paul's talking. You know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering. Says, Timothy, you know everything that's going on in my life. We're tight. Timothy went on Paul one of the journeys. He says, you get this. You understand how much I had to suffer. And he says, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, right here? Antioch was the beginning of the church, if you weren't here for the word sequel, but right there, that was the sort of the home base for the church. Not the beginning, but the home base for the church during that time. What happened in Iconium and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Timothy, you know all that. And he says, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. He says, in fact, and this is not a very encouraging statement, and we're going to talk more about this in a couple of weeks, this concept. But he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, that's how Paul sets up this second chapter of Timothy, or third chapter of 2 Timothy. Timothy says, look, Timothy, I know you're a young pastor in a new church. It's a church plant. He said, there's going to be people, things are getting bad out there. Things are getting rough, and if you're going to live for Jesus, it's not going to be easy for you. And there's going to be people that are going to look pretty good, but they're going to be misguided. And so the question then that Timothy is probably asking, well, that's great, Paul. What am I supposed to do? How do I handle this? How do I know if they're like sneaky and you can't tell if they're good or bad? What am I supposed to do? And that's where Paul, the next statement is, but as for you. He says, Timothy, things are rough. Things are going to be harder and harder. But Timothy, I want to tell you how to deal with this. And that's not just Paul's word to Timothy, but God's word to us. Look, there's people, things are going to be rough out there. Things are going to be hard. It's going to be hard to tell the truth from the lie. There's going to be some bad people and they're going to get worse. But he says, how do we live? And that's what Paul says to Timothy. But as for you, and that's where he starts to talk about the importance of the Bible. So for us, MC3, there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of people out there. There's people that are deceptive. There's people that are doing things the wrong way. Culture is saying, this is really important. How do we know what to do? And Paul says to you, but as for you, here is how we live. And so I want to talk about four things about the Bible. Four things about the Word of God when it comes to this idea of being biblical, of living biblically, so that the Bible is the main filter for how we do everything. Because Paul is saying to Timothy, look, Timothy, if you're letting the world be the filter, if you're letting those outsiders be your filter, you're going to make wrong decisions. But to make the right decisions, here's what you have to do. And he talks about the importance of the Bible. So let me share four things about the Bible. The first thing is that the Bible is dependable. The Bible is dependable. And by the way, you know, you're probably like, oh yeah, pastor guy. Oh, it's great for you to talk about the Bible that way. Like, I don't really care if you believe me or not. I encourage you to try it. Taste and see. Because, man, this stuff, when it comes to the Bible and using God's Word, God wants what's best for us. And he says, here. Here is my Word. This is for you. I don't want you to struggle. I don't want you to just guess through life. I'm giving you the instructions. So, anyway, just a little disclaimer there that, you know, I'm not going to try to prove it to you. I'm just going to tell you it's true. So he said the Bible is dependable. And again, when you're looking to go on a journey, you want to know the best locations to go. And you're not going to just ask me because I don't know a thing about kayaking. I don't know a thing about good places. I saw something on a movie once, The River Wild. You know, that's a bad place. Don't go there because there's a guy up in the woods that wants to take you and your wife out. I also saw Deliverance, another kayaking journey, bad place to go. You know, that's about my extent of kayaking. If you ask me where the best places to go, you're making a foolish decision. But, again, I'm totally picking on them, but if you ask the Walters, who are camper kayaker types, and say, where are some good places to go? They are experts in it. They know. They've been there. They've done that. And the Bible is the same way. And this is what Paul says to Timothy. And I can't read it. Okay, he says in verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. See, what Paul says, he says, look, Timothy, I know things are going crazy, but I want you to know that there is one source that is dependable. There is one standard that you can follow that will get you through. He says, as for you, continue. The word, Greek word, is persevere, to push on, to press on. Don't give up. Don't quit. I know things are rough, but you continue. Continue in this. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of. He says, and here's the deal, right? Timothy grew up in a good Jewish home. So Timothy became a Christ follower later in life, but as a Jewish child, he knew the Bible, and that Bible for them was the Old Testament, but he knew it. He had been taught it. So he says, you know this stuff, Timothy, and you were convinced of it. You believed this thing with all of your heart. You believed the Jesus thing. You believed the Scriptures. And he says, don't turn your back on that. Because you were convinced of it. Because you know those from whom you've learned it. This was taught to you by your parents. By people that loved you. By people that you cared about. He says, why would you not listen to them? And again, not everybody has a perfect parental situation. But in Timothy's situation, it was good. It was his mom, his grandma, the people in his life that said, Timothy, I love you. And because I love you, I want to teach these things to you. And he says, you've learned it from these people that love you. Why would you listen to someone that doesn't care about you or even know you for your source of truth, for your source of how to live? How about us? Like, why are we so, I am totally there. Why am I so quick to be concerned about what other people think, even though I know that God has been faithful? And the Word that I've been studying, and I spent 8 years in schooling, studying and learning about it, that I've dedicated my life to be a pastor and do all this. Why, when the windows aren't here for the building second floor, am I like, well, God must have given up on me then? Why, you know, why are we so faithless like that? Why do we forget about all the things that God has done, all the ways that we've been taught, and we've seen Him come through over and over and over again? And He says, Timothy, continue in what you know. The people that were teaching you this, they loved you. They had your best interests in mind. Because you know those who taught it to you. And from infancy, as a small child, this is true for Timothy's situation, he has known the Holy Scriptures. He says, Timothy, look, continue in this because the Scriptures are dependable. culture is not going to be easy to figure out what's right and wrong. Sometimes culture will be right, sometimes culture will be wrong. The people in your church, Timothy, sometimes they're going to look good on the outside but have the wrong heart and attitude on the inside. Some people are going to look kind of ugly and messy on the outside, but their heart's in the right place. You can't let them be your guide. It's got to be that which you know, because Scripture is dependable. You're not going to ask somebody that doesn't know what they're doing to give you directions on a journey. You're going to ask someone that you trust. And Paul's saying to Timothy, don't let these people that you don't know determine how you're going to live your life. Scripture is dependable. It is the source. The Holy Scriptures, the Greek word there, I mean, it's just this idea of something that is sacred and written to God. So there's nothing fancy about them being Scriptures, so like, oh, I have a roll, or I have actual paper versus digital. Like, the point is, the words that God wrote, the words that God spoke, that is the source. That is the issue. He says, continue in those things. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't turn your back. Don't say, oh, well, no, man, Sean, don't give up. Because God is still faithful. And His Scripture, His Word, the Bible, by the way, that's all the same thing, is true. It's dependable. And I'll tell you what, man, there was like week 3 of August. I was totally ready to join my brother John working at Lowe's. I would have loved to do that way more than be a pastor of MC3. Because of so many things. And I'm like, oh, and actually we had a Labor Day picnic with Kendra's family. And like, how's the church going? And Labor Day, this is last week. I'm like, oh, it's exciting. God's doing great things. And He's coming through. And I said, but 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty sure God forgot me. He forgot all, like, that was just my attitude. And Paul is saying the same thing to Timothy. Look, things are going to be tough. Things are going to be hard for us as followers of Jesus. But just trust that God and His Scriptures, He's going to come through. His Word, the Bible, He is going to come through. He is dependable. His Word is dependable. So continue in it. So that's the first thing that we learn about the Bible, is that Paul tells Timothy that it's dependable. The second thing is that the Bible is powerful. This isn't just some average, everyday, that's a neat book, that was a cool story. This is something that is infused by the Spirit of God, that is the power of God is working through His Word in a way that I can never explain to you. Because I'm human, I'm not God. But if you went on a journey, you would want to make sure that you have a kayak that is going to get you there, that is able to make the trip. This one is, I'm pretty sure. It's in good shape. But, you know, you wouldn't want to go and, hi, I'm going to provide a boat for you, and it's got holes, it's all rusted in the bottom, and it's plastic. You're like, how'd that happen? But you know, you would want something that you could that is trustworthy, that is able to get you through. If it wasn't able, you wouldn't take it. You wouldn't go. I mean, seriously, like, think, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But how stupid would you be if someone like showed up, let's go, and there's a boat that's all rusted out of the bottom, there's holes all through it. Like, that's not something that is able to get you through. That does not have the power that you need to get through any kind of a kayaking journey. And that's what Paul goes on to say to Timothy in the second part of verse 16, or 15, sorry. He says, you know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He says, this stuff that you've learned, this stuff that you know, the Bible, it is able. It has what it needs. The Greek word here is the cool word. It's dynamai, which sounds like dynamite. And some people say that's because it's the same word. I don't know enough about the history of the word dynamite. But I do know that the word here means to have power. That it is able. The Scriptures, the Bible, has the power to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It is what you need. It is the equipment. It is the vehicle that you need to make you wise, to make the right choices. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. That's what Paul's saying to us. Like, not only is it something we can depend on, but it's God's Word is real. It has power. It is able to make us wise through salvation. It is able to make us, and we'll see in a little bit, help us to live more for Jesus. Nothing else has that kind of power except for God's Word. And again, you know, how often do we go through life like, yeah, I guess that's neat. Oh, I quickly read through my devotional today. Look at me. I've did 6 in a row. What did it mean to you? I don't know. I just got through it real quick. It's the Word of God. Powerful. Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active. It's powerful. It's something that can transform us from within. And to go through life with an empty, with a rusted out bottom kayak, you're not going to get very far. And we do the same thing with God's Word. Like, yeah, oh, I've got a copy. I've got the YouVersion app on my phone and my tablet, and I even have it on my desktop. But if that's the end, it's not transforming your life, because God's Word has the power to do that. Yeah, we need to do that. Third thing about the Bible, it's dependable, it's powerful, and it's useful. And this is the cool thing, right? God isn't, you know, I mean, if you haven't seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, well, you probably shouldn't, but, like, it's probably not the best accurate representation of what Jesus' followers should be like. Just going to throw that out there. But, you know, as you look at the Holy Hand Grenade, and if you don't know what that is, again, you can probably YouTube it, and if you're under 18, don't. But there's this whole scene where they're trying to throw a hand grenade, and of course they open the great book of the grenade, I forget what it's called, and, you know, he that lobbeth the grenade shall not throw it too far nor vice, and there's this whole long thing that makes the Bible, because they're kind of making fun of the Bible and how it's, like, so antiquated, it doesn't make any sense, and, you know, there's a lot of, there's the King James Version out there, which I'm not saying is wrong, but it's hard to understand, and there's a lot of people that's all they think about. The Bible is that, thus thee, thou, thither, thine, thou, thither. Like, what does that mean? I don't know, but I memorized it. Like, the idea is that, you know, God's Word, culture, like, there's a lot of reasons, but people think of it as sort of this, like, oh, you know, it's this holy book, which it is, but sometimes, like, I don't know, I remember growing up, we had this Bible. It was the Bible that sat on our front table in the entranceway to our house. And it was big. And it had, like, this engraved gold leaf cover. And you fold it. And it had, like, three ribbons that you could place in multiple places. And so we would open it up and place the ribbon in the middle, usually halfway through, because that looked best. And it would sit there. That was our Bible. I mean, granted, we had regular Bibles. We opened them and all that. But you know, it's sort of this idea, like, this is some special, sacred, moment. And it's all these, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't make sense. But Paul is saying, and I would agree, which is a good person to agree with, the guy that wrote part of the Bible. I would agree that he's right, saying that the Bible is useful. The Bible is useful. You know, if you're going to go on a journey, you're going to want to know, are there things I need to watch out for? Because, you know, I was going along this river and I kind of saw the Hoover Dam in the distance. Is that an issue? Probably. Like, you're going to want to know, what are the dangers? What are the pitfalls? What are the things I need to be aware of? And that's what you would do on a journey. And the same thing is true about us living our lives. We need to know, what are the ways to get through the hard times? What are the ways to get through the right times? What's right? What's wrong? The Bible is useful that way. And it's not just a random book of meaningless stuff. It's something that's practical. It really, really is. It makes a difference. And this is what Paul says to Timothy. And he goes on and says, all Scripture is God-breathed. First of all, coming back to the power, there is nothing else that is God-breathed. Theopneustos. Exhaled by God. It is His breath in print. It is His word to us. So it's not just, and I know that Paul wrote it, and I'm not going to get into that whole complicated process, but inspired is where the word means. Inspired, spiros, breathing. Inspired, breathed by God. I don't know how that fits. But the idea is inspired. We talk about it being inspired. It means God spoke it. God inspired Paul to write this. It was directly communicated by God to Paul. It wasn't Paul just guessing. It wasn't something that was like, hey, this would be neat. What do you think, God? Like, there's some supernatural thing going on, so that this was God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Bible that you have is breathed by God. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So what he's saying is it's useful for a lot of things. It's useful for teaching, to show you what is right. That's what the word means. It's this idea of of just, you know, I am teaching you. Here is how to write a letter S. You go like that. Now you know. You have been taught. That's what the Bible is good for. It teaches us. How do we know what is right? Well, let's look at the Bible. Should I be doing this? I don't know. What does the Bible have to say about this? Should I have that job? I don't know. What does the Bible say about this? Should I date that person? I don't know. What does the Bible say about this? Chances are you're not going to open up and say, yep, Steve is definitely the guy for you. Unless, no, there's still a Stephen in there, but it's not going to say that. But there are principles there that say this is going to show you. This is what's right. Then it says the Bible is useful for rebuking. And rebuking is when you say, no, that's wrong. You say that to your kids. No, no, no. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. No, please don't play with my propane torch. I wish that was not. Anyway, I had to tell it to my sons this weekend. That's dangerous. It can blow up. All right. That's rebuking. Don't do that. It tells you what's not right. This is right, and this is not right. It is useful for that. It says the third thing is correcting. How to get right. And I love this part. I was just reading a book by Perry Noble called Unleash. And he talks about this idea of correcting. Like, God's word doesn't just say, this is right and this is wrong. And if you do wrong, you're screwed. Too bad for you, you're done. It's there for correcting us and saying, yeah, what you're doing is wrong, and let's just demonstrate some grace here. Let's just show you that, you know what, you don't have to be stuck in your wrongness, because I'm going to show you how to get right. And God's word is useful for that. For what's right, what's not right, how to get right. If you strayed off the path, if you're heading towards a dangerous eddy, God's word will say, this is how you can navigate through that. It's too late now, you've already made a poor choice, but let's get you out of this. Let's get you to safety. That's the idea of this correcting. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Training in righteousness. And this is the idea of how to stay right. Okay, now you know what's right, what's wrong. If you're in the wrong, here's how to get back right. And here's how to stay right. The word training has to do with teaching a child, with instruction of a child and discipline. And I don't mean discipline like spanking as much as I mean just discipline like if you want to be a good linebacker, you're going to spend a lot of time running into one of those pad things that linebackers run into in football. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't even know what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to do things over and over. If you want to get better at drawing your S's, because you know this is an S, and when you do this, no, that's not an S, that's a T. That's not right. Now, here's how you draw your S. Now, what I want you to do is draw that S 5 times. Because you start training. You start doing it over and over, and eventually you get better at it. God's word is useful for teaching us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. It is useful. When you're on a journey, the word here, it says, for training in righteousness, it's this repetitive exercise kind of concept. And that's what I want you to understand, that, like, don't go through life thinking that it's some sort of holy hand grenade, some sort of lobbeth thee, thine, thou, thither thing. It is useful for how we live our lives, and we need to let it infect us. We need to spend time in God's word, reading it, and it will change us. It will show us what's right. And I have watched, that's one of the cool things about MC3. Like, I love watching God's word and God's spirit work on hearts. We could set up a whole bunch of rules. Here's how you should dress when you come to church. Here's how you should act when you come to church. Here's how you should act after you're not at church. Here's how you should act in your job. Here's what you should do. Here's what you shouldn't do. Here's what you should stop doing. I just like saying, hey, this is God's word. Let it change you. And I'm watching God change people's hearts. Because He's doing the work, not us and our rules. It's about God changing people. So, it is useful. And then the fourth thing, the Bible is dependable, powerful, useful, and completable. Completable. It makes you complete. It gives you everything you need. If you're on a journey, you want to have all the right equipment. You need to have your life vest, your life preserver jacket, whatever they call it, personal flotation device, your PFD. You need to have one of these. You need to have an oar or a rudder or a paddle, so that you can get where you want to go. And if you don't have all those tools, you're not going to be able to navigate the journey. You're not going to be able to make it. And that's what God's word says as well. And he goes on and continues to Timothy and says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He says, God's word is useful for showing what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. so that, because everybody else is drifting away. Things are getting hard to determine who's right and who's wrong. But if you stay focused on God's word, you will be thoroughly equipped to do the right thing. And this word thoroughly equipped is a really kind of cool word. It's two Greek words, and essentially it means completely complete, which sounds kind of redundant. But the idea is that you're not kind of complete. You are completely complete. You have everything you need. It's not saying you're going to get a paddle with just one end. You're going to get a two-ended paddle. You're going to have everything that you need to navigate the journey. You're not going to get one of those little, like, you know, you're not going to get a styrofoam cup as your personal flotation device. You're going to get a full-on U.S. Coast Guard approved PFD. You have everything that you need to complete your journey. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Look, things are tough. People are going, it's hard to tell what's right and wrong anymore. It's hard to navigate. But you, Timothy, stay true to what you know. You know the Word of God. And I want you to remember that it's not just a nice book. It's got God's power behind it. It's powerful to change you. And it is useful to get you through the problems that you need. And if you use that as your source, as the main filter for how you live your life, you will be completely complete to serve God. And I don't say this in a cruel way because I'm talking to myself too. But, you know, when we mess up, it's not because we followed God's word. And we, like, if we're doing things the wrong way, typically it's not, well, I was reading the word of God and it told me that I should go steal this. Typically that doesn't happen. A lot of times it's because we drift away from what God tells us and start doing things our own way. And then we're not serving for Jesus. Then we mess up. And then we come back to God's grace, which is wonderful, why Jesus died on the cross for us. But this idea of being thoroughly equipped for every good work, to be able to do what God has called us to do, to be a more complete follower of Jesus, we've got to spend time letting God's word change us. And you can't spend time letting God's word change you if you never open it. And, you know, the kids, your Ignition kids, I mean, I love what we've got going on with Ignition now. One of the things in their stations, they have three stations they rotate through. And they're learning the verse today. And memory, yeah, you could do it to get your little lollipop for the day. But if you start to memorize and get scripture in you, it starts to affect you in other ways that you never expected. And there's those moments where I'm going through a hard time. I'm like, I remember that verse. Thank you, God. Because God's word is powerful. So that's what I'm getting at. Like, don't go on a journey unequipped. Ill-equipped. Take God's word. If you're trying to it's hard to navigate what's going on, God's word is the example. It's dependable, powerful, useful, and completable. It's everything that you need for the journey. It's everything you need to navigate through life. And again, I don't care if you believe me. I need you to get that this is the source. The Word of God is the source. The Word of God is the main filter. If you choose to ignore it, that's cool. I'm not forcing you to do anything. But understand that if you want to live for Jesus, if we want to make the right choices, that has to be the main filter. And that's the point again. The biblical. I am biblical, so I use the Bible as the main filter for how I live. And I say main because sometimes there's things that, you know, should I be dating Steve or should I be dating Scott? Not that Scott, he's married. So the Bible does say don't do that. So here you go. But you know, you pray about it, God, maybe he needs to show you. Sometimes God is so gracious, we're like, you know, maybe I'll start dating Steve. And then it's like, well, that's not working. So maybe God wanted me to date Scott. There's some things that aren't directly open. And I'm not talking about me dating any of those people. But you know what I'm saying? It's got to be the main filter. And sometimes you talk to godly followers of Jesus and say, what do you think? You talk to people that care about you and love you. But the Bible has to be the main filter. Because there's other things, if we let them be the main filter, they're going to let us down. Because they are not... they're not good. They're sources of misinformation. And here's what I'm saying as I wrap up. There are a lot of places that I think we go to determine how to live. There are a lot of places that we look at and say, okay, I've got this big decision, or maybe it's a little decision. And we look to these sources first instead of to the Word of God. And I get this, like, especially if you're new at following Jesus or even new just opening your Bible. There's 66 books there. I understand that. We spent 4 weeks zipping through 27 of them and probably nowhere near touched what's in just those 27. So I understand that. So I don't want to discourage you and say, well, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there's lots of tools, lots of ways we can help you with that. But I think the heart has to say, okay, what does God's Word say? How can I figure this out? Because there's a lot of sources of misinformation out there. The first one is culture. And if we, you know, I beat this drum all the time. And I don't say it. Well, I guess I do say it because I'm a pastor. And culture affects us in so many ways. You know, it's popular. It's new. It's cool. It's just somebody wrote a song about it. So therefore, I must go along with it. I mean, this is the whole idea of just going along with the crowd, just trying to fit in. And please don't even sit here and say, well, I'm not a teenager, so I don't deal with that. That is a lie. We deal with that all the time. You're always being influenced by culture, whether it's what soda you buy or where you get your gas. I mean, all these things are influencing those things. I'm referring to gasoline. Like the culture influences us. And we can't let culture determine where we go. And there's a number of reasons for that. One, culture, and I'm going to be totally like, this is not accurate in 100% of way, but most of the time, culture just wants your money. So, you know, who are you going to depend on? As Timothy's going through a tough time, it's hard to tell what's right and wrong. And Timothy can say, okay, well, should I trust these guys that are interested in my money or my parents and my grandmother who taught me the Word of God and had my best interest at heart? Do I trust culture or do I trust... And let me say this as humbly as I can. Or do you trust me? Because I honestly love my church. I love you. And that's probably the hardest part of my job. If I didn't care, it would be a whole lot easier. That's why my week a couple weeks ago was like, I need to give up on this because my emotions... My back can't handle many more burdens. But as best as I possibly can, my interests are for you. My interests are for my wife and my kids and them making the right decisions. As we talked the other night, like, I just want people to know that he loved Jesus. Or do you trust someone that says, I don't even know who you are. You're a number. And I'd like that number to be bigger so that my pocket gets bigger. So that my wallet gets bigger, my bank account gets bigger. And there's so many things about culture. There's popularity, there's fitting in. I mean, there's all that stuff, but you can't let culture be the way you determine how you're going to raise your kids. Well, you know, this is a really popular fad right now. You know what? There's going to be a new one in a couple more months. Remember MySpace? I was actually looking back through my Facebook wall, and I saw my first post. In 2008, I was an early adopter. And I'm like, I just learned MySpace, and now Facebook's cool. That's what my post was. Like, you know, things are always changing. Things are constantly changing. Things are constantly moving forward. And we just can't let that determine how we're going to do things like raise our kids. How we're going to determine what is, you know, what is our example for marriage. Because there's plenty of Hollywood celebrity columns that tell you about marriages. Is that your source? Or is it God's Word? Second thing, and I need to move on here, is politics. And there's nothing wrong with politics. I love the fact that we're in a country where we can vote and have some say in what goes on. But for the most part, you know, culture is interested in your money. Politics are interested in your vote. And, you know, we can't let someone that... You can't just let the opinion of someone that is making a politically motivated decision determine how you do something. You can't be politically correct. Oh, I want to do this so I fit in. I want to do this so someone likes me or whatever. Like, it can't be about that. Sometimes, and as Paul told Timothy, if you do the right thing, people will not like you for it. And we can't be worried about whether everybody's going to like us. Whether, well, you know what, I'm going to shame you publicly on Facebook. Sometimes we're going to have to make decisions and we can't let politics and culture and those things affect us. So those things are pretty obvious. Now I want to get a little bit more real. You can't let people be a source of information for how to live your life. People are sinful. People are selfish. And let me just, you know, break down the men in black thing where they're like, well, it's not just people, you know, we're talking about people. A person is smart, but people are dumb. No, people and persons are dumb. Like, we make your best friend, your spouse, isn't always going to make the best decision. And followers of Jesus, your pastor, isn't always going to make the best decision. And if you're using me as your source for doing what is right, as much as I love you and I try to make my best interest for you and your spouse, as much as they love you and you want their best interest to be for them, as kids, as your parents love you and they want their best interest to be for you, we're going to make mistakes. And what we have to do is always check it back with Scripture. I want you to leave here and go, I don't know if I buy that. Good. Don't buy it. I don't care about my words. Go back, read your Bible, and decide if it's right. Do that every week. Question me. Because I'm not your source of hope. I am not the power in your life. It is God's Word and Jesus. So I encourage you that. And again, I know it's good to talk to other people. That's why prime groups, community, the idea of being together as brothers and sisters is important. It sounds like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. But I want you to understand that even when it comes down to it, if someone says, hey, I love you so much, I think the right thing for you to do is to kill that child that's being really bad. Maybe I should check that with Scripture. Do you get it? Like, we're going to make poor decisions. And you can let them be a part of the filter, but Scripture needs to be the main filter. Remember my whole comment a couple of months ago about the, it's okay, hon. You know, that's the Facebook thing. It's okay, hon. You can do whatever you want, hon. And we can't let people do that. It's not okay sometimes, because Scripture says it's not okay. And sometimes it is okay, hon. But we have to let Scripture be the main filter. And then the last thing is emotions. Our emotions. So we're not only talking about the culture and politics out there and people that we know and love, but even ourselves. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above anything. We don't even make the right decisions. And sometimes we feel like this is the right thing. And sometimes your feelings are dead wrong. We can't let our emotions determine how we feel. Because 3 weeks ago, I'm pretty sure, even though I felt like God had forgotten me and stopped working at MC3, I'm pretty sure He didn't. Because God is faithful. God is true. God is constant. So even your own emotions, and this is probably the hardest thing, because emotions, they're emotional. They're powerful. They're not as powerful as the Word of God. But we have to be careful that we don't let our feelings determine. And whether that feeling is sadness or sorrow or justifiable anger or whatever, we have to make sure that our emotions aren't the main filter. Because sometimes what feels right is wrong. And sometimes things that feel wrong are right. What does God's Word say? If we're going to go on the journey, we need to have the right equipment and let the right equipment determine how it works. And that's what the Word of God is. That's why being biblical is so important. That's why as a church, the Bible is the main source for what we do. And I love that. Because if you don't like it, it's not my problem. I don't really think that that's appropriate, you know, that whole relational community thing. Sorry, it's the way the church did in the Bible. Talk to God. Like, and again, are we imperfect humans? Yes. Are we going to make poor decisions? Yes. But that's kind of the idea, is that everything we're doing is the Bible. And if you say, well, my other church, we really had this cool thing, and it felt really neat to be together with everybody. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about you. I don't care about your other church. I care about what the Bible says and who we are and what we're doing based on the Word of God. Because that's why we do it. And if I'm sounding arrogant, I don't mean to be. Honestly, I'm just saying that there's only one true source for the right thing to do, and it's God's Word. It's nothing else. And if somebody else says, you know what? I don't buy this MC3 thing. I'm going to start a new church. In the Wilson's Auto, over in the car sale lot. Okay. And if you feel it's differently, and you feel that God's Word says this is how you should do it, go for it. Because that's got to be the source. I need to wrap up here because I promised Michelle that we'd be done on time. We've got ATU coming up right now. And I think I'm okay with my clock, if that's right. Okay, we're right. Okay. So that's it. The idea of being biblical. We need to we as a church and we as individuals. That's got to be the source. And that's everything that we do as a church, all of these core values. That's why I started with this idea, because all of them flow out of that. It's not, hey, this would be neat. The church plant team didn't get together and say, you know what would be fun? What if we, no, what does God's word say? And that's how we do what we do. That's why we do what we do for everything else. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that you didn't send us on this journey and just say, figure it out. But that you gave us your word as an example, as the main filter for how we should live. And I pray that you would help us to do it. Help us to find time and ways to spend in your word, reading it, studying it, letting it change us, memorizing it in ways so that your word and the power that is in it would change us, so that we would be more like Jesus. God, I thank you so much that we have that source. And I thank you that it's not about me, Sean Fitch, or my opinions or my feelings, but it's about your steady, strong, useful truth, the Word of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.